The spirit of the law, not the specific of the law, but the spirit of the law is just we shouldn't be bearing false witness. Or, to put it a little more bluntly, we just shouldn't be lying to one another. Now, I had to delete a bunch of stuff off of yours to get it on front and the back. But on yours, you do have this part. A pastor announced one Sunday, the next Sunday, he was going to preach on lying. And as his preparation for the message, he wanted the congregation to read the 17th chapter of Mark. The next Sunday, the preacher began by asking those who read the 17th chapter of Mark to raise their hands. More than half of the people raised their hands. "Very good," the preacher said. "You're the very people I need to speak to. There is no 17th chapter of Mark." Uh-huh. In December 2001, I remember this vaguely. George O'Leary was on top of the world. He had just been named head football coach at the University of Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish. It was the dream of a lifetime. O'Leary was in charge of one of the most prestigious sports programs in the world. Then 2 days later, at the end of his first day on the job, the call came. A reporter had been trying to contact some of the guys who played college football with him back in New Hampshire. The strange thing was, nobody could remember anyone named George O'Leary. So Notre Dame's sports information director telephoned to find out what it was all about. O'Leary reluctantly admitted that he hadn't actually played football at New Hampshire. Let's see, he had a knee injury 1 year, then he had mono. Someone must have made a mistake. The writer goes on to say, indeed, someone had made a mistake. O'Leary. The next day, the reporter called to say that he had documentation. Years before, when O'Leary had applied for a job at Syracuse, he had been asked for information about his athletic background. Some of what he provided was true, like the high school football championships, but somehow it didn't look impressive enough, so the applicant decided to improve his resume. There it was, 21 years later, in his own handwriting. College, - University of New Hampshire, - 3-year lettered. It was a small lie, really. But it was big enough to turn O'Leary's dream into a nightmare, costing him not only his job, but also his reputation. Perhaps the most telling response came from the coach's brother, who said, "Is anyone trying to tell me that resumes are truthful? In the America we live in?" He said, "The willingness to lie on a resume is an indication of how much you want the job." Sadly, this attitude is all too typical. According to a survey of nearly 3 million job applicants, nearly 50% of American resumes contain one or more falsehoods. And that's an excerpt taken from an Exodus commentary. Mark Twain said there are 869 different kinds of lies. I think he was exaggerating. Y'all remember Elmer Towns, the old Southern Baptist preacher up from, he's up at Liberty now, but he was, I guess he was Jerry Falwell's bus guy or something maybe, something like that. He has a website that has tons and tons and tons of sermons. He wrote down this, 17 different kinds of lies. There's the white lie, that's perceived as good for both the teller and the victim of the lie. For example, how does this outfit look? It's good for you to say, it looks great, and it's good for them, I guess. There's the political lie or flattery. A compliment when the teller perceives the thing complimented is not good, but it is what the listener wants to hear. You could apply the same thing from number one. Gossip, telling what should not be told, i.e. revealing a secret. The sinister lie, giving an untruth for our evil purposes. The jovial lie, lying in an obvious way, without malice, so both teller and listener know it's not true. There's the half lie, telling the truth but not the whole truth. There's the excuse, misrepresenting the truth about a failure on our part. There's hypocrisy, attempts to deceive. There's justifying lie, to convince others they would have taken the same action. There's the face-saving lie, misrepresentation to avoid embarrassment. There's the evangelistically speaking lie, the exaggeration of religious results. And he has in parentheses Ananias and Sapphira. There's the propaganda lie used in military times to make one's position. There's advertisement that's used to exaggerate. There's cheating. That's using material that's not yours with a view of misrepresentation. There's demonic lies. Evil spirits are the source of misrepresenting. And then there's the spin, interpreting obvious facts to your favor. And then there's the plausibility of denial. People conspire to conceal their involvement by claiming they didn't know. Why do you think it's important? And again, I know I'm kind of the old saying, preaching to the choir. Out of all the things God's could have said, he said, make sure you don't bear false witness. The facts about lying in our country, to be quite honest, are discouraging. It is so common that almost all of the surveys and studies have done put the percentage, well, in 2004, one poll put the percentage at over 93%. They admitted to one or more kinds of dishonesty at work or school. 96% reported lying to or committing other dishonest acts towards those close to them. I.e., kids lied to their parents about money, alcohol, drugs, friends, dating, party, sex. Another scholarly study said lying in everyday life conducted by a group of scholars at the University of Virginia and at Texas A&M showed that adults lied on average about 2 times a day. Well, it's not too bad. I mean, just a couple times a day. It is so common in the world that we live in. I think you have this quote there. One might think that the rich and powerful have the least reason to lie and the most to lose from getting caught. But history is replete with examples of politicians, business people, millionaires, and sports stars who have committed perjury. And they're not the only ones guilty of lying. We all do it, experts say. Someone else went on to say, listen to this, this is interesting. Although psychologists generally acknowledge most humans lie at some point in their lives, the prevalence of lying in America, 3 studies of self-reported lies conducted by a group of scholars at Michigan State University found the majority of lies reported by the respondents belong to a small percentage. According, now listen to this, half of all reported lies are told by 5.3% of the population. Wow. Still, he goes on, as humans, the people around us affect our propensity to lie. So people who want to be more honest would best avoid that 5.3%. Well, it is very common, and I put down 3 thoughts there. Lying impacts all of us. We're all tempted by it. I don't know how many times in a day I am tempted to shade the truth. Somebody asks you, for example, you say, well, I would never lie. Oh, really? How do you feel? Oh, I'm fine. Great. You got a headache, your back's aching, your feet start, but you're fine. Now, you don't tell that to your wife. What you tell your wife is, I feel horrible. But the person who asked you, oh, I feel great. Well, that's just a lie. And we all do it. I do it. I mean, I'm clear. We do it. Now, we don't think about it as being, you know, as divisive and destructive. But my point is, we are all tempted by it. We're all touched by it. Even if you don't do it commonly, you are touched by it because those around you do it to you. Oh, you look great today. Right. Well, it impacts everybody. It infects everyone. And you think about this, and this is what saddens me. Think about our political culture in America. You can't get a straight answer. And I used to think, when I was naive, that, man, you know, if I was just on the right side in politics, there isn't a right side, folks. Even the best of those guys up there that say that they are committed and devoted, do y'all follow the Speaker of the House? Enough said. Remember when he came on the scene? Don't y'all remember that? I remember when he came on the scene. Oh, he's going to be the savior of everything. And what has he turned out to be? Well, number two, he's been infected with it. From our politicians to our court witnesses, and then did I bring that in? I had the statistics for perjury in America in the last few years. It wasn't overwhelming, but there was 300 to 400 cases every year. And out of those 300 to 400 cases, about 75% of those were convicted and imprisoned because of perjury. It's not just our politicians, it's our people. It's our print, it's the local newspapers. They print lies all the time. Anybody read about the Rolling Stones story last week that got flubbed up? The girl that said she was raped back in college, and then they began to investigate it and found out that none of the witnesses knew anything about it, and the fraternity where she supposedly got raped wasn't having a party that night, and, you know, Rolling Stones came out and said, we missed the boat on that one. And somebody wrote last night, a perfect train wreck for the Rolling Stone magazines and human rights for ladies who really are raped. And then they can't get people to believe them. It's sad. So it's infecting everybody. And then it influences everyone, either negatively or positive. We're all influenced by it. Me, in one sense, it just makes me, I get a little irritated and angry when I watch things on TV or read stuff, and I know that they're just downright lies. Hence, we're going to have the most transparent government administration that there's ever been. I'm telling you guys and ladies, that's the biggest prevarication there's ever been in America. Somebody wrote the other day this, there has not, and it was a it was either an ABC or a CNN reporter said this, or it was one of the main ones, maybe a CBS, but she wrote this, there has never been a more opaque administration in the history of the U.S. Meaning you can't find nothing out. Well, it does influence us. So anyway, it's common. Secondly, it's very costly. When the Lord said, thou shalt not bear false witness, he knew that it would have some cost associated with it. Quickly, you remember when Martha Stewart went to prison? Let me read you a little bit about that. She decided in 2001 to sell some shares because she got an illicit tip, illegal. At the time, she was worth billions, multiplied billions. The deal that she made with these stocks and bonds saved her $45,000. Over the course of the 3 years, through lying to the Securities and Exchange Commission, the trial and the conviction, Martha Stewart said this, that one decision to lie and to continue to lie cost her about $1 billion in damages. Not to mention her reputation. Lance Armstrong, who continually denied that he hadn't taken steroids. When he finally came clean, no pun intended, they said that he had pretty much lost his entire fortune that he had amassed. It talked about him selling off his million-dollar homes and all these other things. Anyway, on your outline there, it says it costs us our riches sometimes, our reputation sometimes, and our relationships sometimes. I don't understand how people can lie to one another consistently in a marriage relationship. But I know of a family that where I counseled years back, where there was drug addiction involved, and the person kept saying, I'm not doing it, I'm not doing it, I'm not doing it. And the wife would finally say, okay, I believe you, I believe you. 2 months later, there would be the drug paraphernalia. I mean, if you want to ruin a relationship, just keep lying. Because it'll be so far damaged, it can't be restored. Well, anyway, it's very costly. And then thirdly, or C, it's condemned. There are certain things God hates according to the Bible. He makes it very clear that he hates them. Let's flip over to Proverbs chapter 6. I know y'all are familiar with this, but let's read through it. What are the things that God hates? Have you heard about the new letter that Planned Parenthood has put out to the like 15 to 19-year-olds in the public schools, or 18-year-olds, whatever it is, they put out a new letter that has been endorsed by the leftist religious of America. The liberal congregations of America, and pastors have said, hey, God's not against you taking your baby's life. God doesn't say that it is not your right. That's what, and they even say in their letter, I read it, that is the religious right that is telling you that, and it's not right. God's okay with you doing that. Well, I wonder if they've read this passage. Proverbs 6, look at what it says in verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. Verse 17, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. I think abortion falls under that. Now, I know those little critters are sinners, okay? I get it. I had five of them. They're as rotten as the day is long. But I'll tell you, when you see one of them sitting in that crib, they look just as innocent as an angel. There's no way God could approve of you destroying that innocent, that little life. Well, and the Lord says there's innocent blood. Verse 18, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, and if you weren't clear above, look in verse 19, a false witness that speak lies, and he that sows discord among the brethren. God condemns lying. On your little outline there, God hates it. That's one of the things that he hates. Secondly, he condemns it. Revelation 21:8 says that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Thirdly, God says Satan is the father of lies. So we know that God is not pro and positive about lying. We know that he takes a very serious view of it. If we had time tonight, which we don't, we could look at Ananias and Sapphira. And in the early church where God was setting a precedent, when Ananias lied about the amount of money that he gave to the church, for whatever reason, why he did it, I guess to inflate his self-worth or something. But he lied. And you know, when Peter confronts him with that, he said this, "You haven't lied to me. You've lied to the Holy Ghost." And he also said that Satan hath filled his heart to lie. And he dropped dead. That's how serious it was. And there's other places in the Bible where we see God does not, well, he condemns lying. It's very serious. It's very costly. Well, look at this next. What is the purpose of the command? When regard for the truth has been broken down or even slightly weakened, all things will remain doubtful, according to Augustine. Now, what is the purpose of the command? And I know we're just about out of time, but let me just go over a couple of these things with you, then we'll quit. Number one, the purpose of God saying, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor in the specific setting of a court is because it preserves society. When truth is told in a court setting, then A or 1 on your outline there, it is a society where truth is encouraged is strong. Now listen, stay with me. What we're witnessing in America right now, I told somebody, it was Dave or somebody, I told, and I'm not saying this to be unkind or mean, I think that we have taken about 50 years in the wrong direction in the strides we've made in civil rights in America. You think of all the things that have happened in the last 5 years, it is just almost as bad as what we've seen years and years ago. We haven't advanced under this administration. We have retreated or whatever. What is going on in Ferguson is this. People can't handle the truth. I didn't sit on that grand jury that indicted that young man. I don't have all the facts. So what do? I trust the grand jury has the ability to come up with the truth. And what's going on out in Missouri is a it's chaos, number one. It's confusion. And let's just say what it is. It's anarchy. That's exactly what it is. It is anarchy against our government saying this: we can't trust our courts. Why? Because they're lying. He wasn't trying to do anything, even though the facts, even the small amount of facts that we as a general population know, point to the fact the kid was guilty. Now, if you had some 6 foot, however tall the guy was, running at you, and he had already tried to kill you, I believe you'd take a gun out and shoot him too. But I don't. All I can say is this: I'm going to trust what the grand jury says, because we believe in America, they're going to arrive at the truth. That's why God says don't bear false witness in a court setting, because when you begin to do that, everything begins to break down and there's absolutely anarchy. And it concerns me. Now it's not just in Missouri. Did you hear that I-80 and Berkeley was shut down today in California because people were laying in the highway because of what happened to another person? And listen, y'all, and I know I say this a lot, but it's the truth. I'm not the smartest person, but I do have enough sense to know this. There's two sides to every story. I learned that a long time ago. These little ladies would come and say, "My husband's worthless. He's just not worth a dime. And I got," and I'd say, "Well, you married him, but anyway, let's go." "He won't," you know, and then I'd come, the husband, I'd say, "Okay," you know, and I'd get to, "Well, that rascal, he's not worth dirt," you know, and then he'd come in and he'd say, "My wife's just as worthless." You know what I figured out? There's always two sides to a story, and it's wise to get both of them. And I'm telling you guys, ladies, listen, this scares me to death what's going on in our young people in America today, because they're so twisted, they're ready to lay down in highways to defend things that they don't even have the facts for. That's scary to me. That's like lynch mob rules. That's crazy. Society where truth is encouraged is a strong society. There isn't chaos. There isn't confusion. There isn't anarchy. All of that stuff is suppressed. Secondly, a society where there is a sense of fairness and equality, right is right and wrong is wrong. It doesn't matter who's involved. That's why in the Bible, it does speak of being non-partial when it comes to being a witness. We can't be partial for those who have a lot of money and partial against those who don't have any money. Part of the punishment for a false witness in the Bible was the same punishment that happened to the person you were lying against would happen to you. So if he was going to be put to death, you would too if you were found to be a liar against him. But in a society where wrong is wrong and right is right, guess what? No matter who's involved in the particular situation, you know there's going to be truth. Rewind your mind back to the O.J. Simpson trial. I really think that was I don't have all the information, I don't know, but in my heart I thought that was a travesty of justice. And think about that, guys and ladies. Our nation's just about never been the same since that. You think of these high-profile cases where people, sad to say, if they've got enough money, they can hire off the sleaziest, slimiest lawyers that'll do everything they can no matter what the truth really is. And they don't care. Thirdly, a society where courts can be trusted and enlisted for help, justice can be found. So why did God say don't lie against your neighbor? Because God knows that the society cannot exist in a community of peacefulness and progress if there are people who get on the stand and perjure and lie, because what? That breaks down the whole fabric of society, and you have basically the Old West where everybody's their own judge. And if they're going to have justice, they're carrying it on their hip and they're going to dispense it as they see fit. That's not the kind of world I want to live in. You know what, honestly, guys and ladies, you know what I think that I think needs to happen in America and even around the world? We need to have a reversal of progressing into the future, and we need to regress back into the past where we had civility and decency and manners. And these kids and people who aren't going to act like humans, they need to be relegated to a place where we keep animals and let them go out there and do that. I want to be around a nation where we're human beings and we're civil to one another. And I really believe part of what's going on, guys and ladies, is our court system is breaking down. Secondly, it preserves our families. And if we were to just to take the spirit of the law and apply it to not lying to one another, the Bible tells us not to lie one to another. Colossians 3:9. Relationships are built upon trust. When I first met Tammy, it was hard for me to trust her because my previous girlfriend of 5 years had repeatedly lied to me. And I was so stupid. I believed her. My best friend, who now is Marshall's captain, came to me one time at my workplace and said, "Ivan, I saw her out last night with another guy." And I said, "No, you didn't." I said, "There's no way, man. She told me she was at home last night." I was believing that little girl over my best friend. He said, "I'm just telling you." So me being the good little investigator, after I got off work, I went into town, and guess what? I found her out with the same guy. It wasn't funny then, though. But you know, when I met Tammy, it was hard for me to believe what she said to me because I'd been put through years of people lying to me. And I want to tell you, in my heart, I'm patient with people who are in relationships where there's continuous lying. And I tell the person that's being lied to, you've got to be patient and pray and try to help this person through this addiction or whatever it is to get past this. And the fact is, there's some people they're just liars, and it's sad. And families, relationships just cannot thrive in that kind of an atmosphere. Secondly, responsibilities are built upon trust. Remember the little fellow who cried wolf all the time? We can't trust somebody that continually lies about why they can or can't do something. Thirdly, which I deleted off here, but our respect of our whole community is built upon that trust we find in our families. That's why I think it's so important for us. You know, somebody was talking to me. It might have been Kenny. Somebody was telling me there was a time in America when lost people went to church. That's just the thing you did. And you know what? It impacted them in their morals. Now, I know America wasn't perfect back in those days, but it isn't anything like it is now. Our communities, guys and ladies, are a reflection of our families. And if our families cannot be built upon trust of not lying to one another, then our communities are filled with that nonsense. It's unreal. Well, let's stop. You want to stop or you want to keep going? I can finish this. You give me 5 minutes, I'll finish it, and then we'll just go on. Okay, let's do that. The practice of the command. Ephesians 4:25 says, "Put away lying and speak the truth, everyone to his neighbor." So as a believer, it just doesn't fit me anymore. It's not my fashion. It's not for me. I'm supposed to be telling the truth. So we shouldn't lie about others. That's bearing false witness publicly. That's sharing hurtful gossip. And I'll tell you, when I used to teach those kids in Bible school, I'd tell them and I'd tell everybody, and it's the truth, if people gossip with you, they gossip about you. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. It's a standard truth. If they gossip with you, they gossip about you. I remember I said that one time in a Bible class, and these three little girls went, and they looked at each other, and they had knives in their eyeballs. We shouldn't lie about others. Don't bear false witness. Don't share hurtful gossip. Thirdly, don't slander the innocent. B, we shouldn't lie about others. And B, we shouldn't lie to others. There's the idea of deception, exaggeration, oversimplification, as in half-truths, misrepresentation. We all do it. I mean, I can't tell you, I haven't done this lately, but I can remember many a time I could hear the phone ring, and I'd step out the front door. "Tell them I'm not at home, honey." She'd say, "He just stepped out." Now, I know none of you pious folks would ever do that. No, you just tell him a downright lie. He ain't here. But you know, we do that stuff, unfortunately. And then C, we shouldn't lie to ourselves. James 1:22 says, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God's not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, so shall also reap. We do deceive ourselves. We like to cover up our faults, to play it down, to put it away, thinking as if we don't have any blind spots. The sad thing is we all have blind spots. Now, I want to read this to you. I think I left this on y'all's. At a local church meeting, another pastor confronted me. Not me, but the guy who was writing this commentary, Philip Ryken. He rebuked me for being a legalist, for not demonstrating God's grace. Frankly, he was a little forward, and I'm not sure his rebuke was fair, but what could I say? He was right, of course. I am a Pharisee at heart. And that's not the worst of it either. I'm a lawbreaker who likes to follow other gods. Even though I have a sacred ministry, I profane God's name. I'm guilty of murderous intentions, lustful thoughts, covetous desires. And yet, I'm able to cover most of this up most of the time. At least I think I can. But that's the real truth. That's the real truth about me. The truth that people would be able to see if it weren't covered up with so many lies. Isn't that interesting? Psalm 120 verse 2, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. William Norris put it like this, if your lips would keep from slips, five things observe with care, to whom you speak, of whom you speak, and how and when and where. I wrote three nouns there at the end for you. Three things to remember, be careful, all of us, and I'm one of the worst. Sometimes I'm not careful in what I say, sometimes. The psalmist said, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Be conscious. Do we hear what we're saying? How we're treating our wife or our spouse or what we're saying to that person? Proverbs 21:23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles. Thirdly, be committed. We can all do better in this area. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Some of us don't lie to intentionally hurt somebody. Some of us lie to intentionally try to help people. Sometimes we lie and we tell them they do look good when in reality they don't. Or that is a good idea when you really think it stinks. But ultimately, you know, there was a study in here about a college girl. For a grade in her class in communication, she told her professor, she says, for 2 weeks, I'm not going to tell one lie. So she started out, and within about 3 or 4 days of people bumping up into her campus and everything, she went to her professor and she said, I'm scrapping the whole thing. She said, I can't do it. And she said, because of that, just those 3 or 4 days of telling the truth, she said, I had to go back and apologize to more people than I can count. Isn't that amazing? Well, let's be careful and be conscious and committed. Father, we thank you for this time. Praise you for your goodness. Bless our time. Thank you for the folks that came out. Help us, Lord, as we are reminded of these tremendous commands you've given. That, Lord, if our world would consider, if we all would consider more seriously just what a massive transformation would take place. Bless our church, Lord. Bless the truth trackers. Help us to have a great remainder of the week. Bring us back on Sunday in Jesus' name. Amen.